Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif Zayin, the last Sif we have not yet learned. Pages that look a little misleading because it looks like you have a lot of Taz on the topic. The Taz is all actually a continuation of the previous Sif, which the printer spread out. But nevertheless, the halacha of a knife regarding Hilchis Taruvus and Basa B'Cholov is quite complex and involves a number of machlaikis. Halacha l'maisa, more so than most shaylas that people would ask Rabbanim. Most shaylas have a uniform answer, either by Sfaradim or by Ashkenazim, but pretty much uniform. And when it comes to the halachas of a knife, the halachas are a little different. Now there are two parts of what we're going to discuss today. The Shulchan Aruch here talks about how to kasher a knife, and that's our first discussion. And obviously, by implication, there'll be a question of whether a knife makes food treif. When you use milchis for fleishik, so the reverse, or a treif a knife, when it makes food treif, which obviously is somewhat related. Now, the first question we have is, why is there a sif about a knife? There's no separate sif about a spoon and other types of kalim. Why does a knife have its own sif when it comes to kashering? Again, we talk about making food treif as a separate discussion. When it comes to kashering, why is there a separate sif? And the answer to that is that there's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that tells us that a knife is somehow different. And the question of how different, what different, where different, that's a machlokes, the Rambam against the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the difference between the Mechaber and the Ramos. Let me give you the Mishnayis background. What? Duchat Sakina. And what does that have to do with kasher? Duchat Sakina has to do with using it in the house. The question is, what Duchat Sakina, the pressure of a knife, has to do with kashering? And you're right, the difference of a knife is duchat sakina. A fork likely has a din of duchat sakina as well. We'll get to that later. Duchat sakina means the pressure that's used in cutting. The idea is that when you cut a davar kasha, there's a certain residue that remains on the knife. Now, if that residue is actually a blia or only ben, we're going to discuss shortly. But first let me tell you what it says in the Mishnayis and in the Gemara. And it's fascinating where the Makar of the Machlaikis, where it comes from. The Mishnah says, Avodah Zarah Ayin Hey, I believe. The Mishnah says that it gives ways of kashering various utensils. And then it says, Sakin mashkiza vihitahira. Sakin, a knife. Mashkiza. Mashkiza means sharpen it. Vihitahira, and it's kosher. That's hashkaza. Now, what is the Mishnah talking about? Mr. Sakin mashkiza vihitahira. What does that mean? Does that mean a knife that was used cold? Or a knife that was used hot? Either way, it's a chiddush. When something's used cold, all you got to do is wash it off. When something's used hot, you need either leave it or argala. So the machlaikis on the two extremes are the Rambam on one end and Rashi Vitaisis on the other, who disagree about how to learn the Mishnah. Now I have to tell you, besides the Mishnah, there's a Gemara that mentions, in the same sugya, that mentions the itza. The itza is sticking into the ground 10 times, which we'll have in the Mechaber. You stick it into the ground 10 times and it becomes kasher vayta. What's that going on? What's that talking about? That's hot? Well, that's cold? It's after hashchaza, before hashchaza, what does it mean? So there are two different things about knives. Different than other kalim. The Mishnah says you sharpen it, the Gemara says you stick it into the ground. The question is what it's talking about. The Rambam Shita, it seems to us Ashkenazim, the Rambam is always nakel. It doesn't seem that way, except for a few ordinary places. But, and the Rambam learns that it's a kula. Why learn the Mishnah as a Chumra? You may as well learn it as a Kula, no? The Mishnah is saying, you have to kashu it. Instead of kashuing, you do Ashkaza, you sharpen it. And that works just as good as kashering.
Well,
that's a cooler. What's the svara? Okay, the svara. That's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer is. When we sharpen only the tip of the blade. We don't really take off part of the blade.
What's
the question? So, sharpening, like we imagine a strip of the blade comes off. Actually, the way we sharpen it, only the tip, the sharpened piece becomes sharp. So I'm not sure. I assume it means the tip of the blade, because that's how you sharpen. The question becomes why that's adequate for heat. I don't know. I should have looked into it. I don't know. Yeah, but when it's hot, really the whole thing gets hot. Now, the Rambam has to be Maida that Ni'itza is talking by cold. When the Gemara says, Ni'atza asara pavim, that's a chumra for cold. The things that are belaya cold, it's not enough to wash it off. You need Ni'itza bakarka asara pavim. That's the sheet of the Mechaber, which is the Rambam, which we're going to learn in a moment. Rashi and Taisvis, we're going to see in the Ramah, are hold that this is a Chumra, and by Tzayne. In other words, by Hat, it needs a regular Kashering, like everything else. And this is a Chumra by cold. Now what does it mean? It's a Chumra by cold that what? So Rashi learns, get this, that something cold needs both hashchaza and nitza. That's the way Rashi learns. Rashi seems to be a das yachid, even among the, like I said, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Torah says that, no, the Mishnah doesn't mention both, the Mishnah mentions one. It's enough for cold to do sharpening. And the Gemara gives a choice of sharpening or ni'itza b'karka. So we're going to learn Mechaber Ramah, hopefully the confusion will go away. The point here is that it's for cold you need ni'itza or hashchaza. For hat is where the machlokes plays itself out. So let's take a look here at the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see the Mechaber Shita and then the Ramah Shita. Mechaber. Sakin Yashan, if you have an old knife, Ben Gadol Ben Katan, whether big or small. Now, big or small, the pshat is big means it's used al ha'esh. A big knife is usually used on the fire, like when they cut the shawarma, right? They have a big knife. On the fire, use a big knife. You don't want to burn your hands, you need a long knife. At the table, you use a small knife. So Sakin Yashan, Begadol Ben Katan, Hanikach Me'evek Kechavim. Alright, this is not a Basu B'chal Taruv, this is Hilchos Shekelim. So you're buying a knife from a guy, you go to a flea market, and you buy a tray for knife. Would anybody do that? A flea market, buy a tray for knife? No? Okay. Okay, fine with me. In Baalish, Tamesh B'tzaynein, if you want to use it for cold, okay, if it has cracks where Ben gets stuck, that's a different story. But in Eimba Gumais, so this is Shita Sarambam, Noyatsa Asara Pam in the Karka Kasha. You stick it 10 times into hard earth. Vitsara Shikol Nitsa Vinitsa Tia the Karka Kasha. You can't stick it in the same spot twice in a row, the second time it's already soft. So you have to stick it each time into karka kasha. Therefore, you don't stick it into a place where there was a prior ni'itza. So the Gemara says a sara pa'amim, and we don't know the difference between 9 times and 10 times. So for us, we just have a Kabbalah from Chazal that this is adequate. One of the tainis against saying that you could just use Stillball or all these things is that we don't know exactly nitsa sarapam. And in the Mela, we do a chazal say, and we don't differ from the nitsa sarapam and bekarka. The fikach lo yinis makshnas nitsa acheres v'afilu lachtei v'adav acharif k'mayt snayin sagi b'hachi. We're going to discuss this. It says even to cut a dav acharif, it's also enough. We don't know yet the halachas of a dav acharif, so we have to give it a few minutes, and we'll get to a discussion of a dav acharif. What we're saying now is that to cut it is adequate, and to stick it into the ground is adequate, and that's all you need. And not only that, ulishtamish by bikfius legara b'kshar klisha neigin lahagil afilo letzainein, to use it bikfius. The Rambam says we need Hagala. The reason is, you might once use it for Had. So to use it occasionally, you could use it. But to make it a permanent part of your set, since you may sometimes stick it into Had, you always need Hagala. V'im yesh pagumais, if it has scratch, v'yesh lachta b'chamin, oy lishchayt bay. You want to use it for Had? Malabda, y'mashchizim mashchezish on the fachim heitev al pnei kula, the libun or the Rambam Shita. Oy malabna, the Rambam Shita is that you do or libun, and that's adequate.
How do the
holes get sharpened? So the assumption is that when you sharpen at the cracks, we're talking about cracks at the blade, that it'll clean it out, and that's good enough. Now obviously, what?
Like a serrated blade,
yeah. A serrated blade, which we are afraid doesn't come clean. So this is the Shitas Rambam, that Ashkaza is good enough even for Hat. And we taka don't understand how does that work for Blias and the knife. So that's the Ramos Kasha. Hagor. V'yeshaybim da Ashkaza lai mahani rachlach da batzayne avaloy lin yichamin. He says, why does Ashkaza help for Hat? Hashchaza only helps for coal. Hat, it has blias. How does Hashchaza work? And that's our minig. So our minig is to require Hagala, and that's why we've never heard of this Eitzah to do Hashchaza and to rely on some type of Hashchaza. So, okay, good. So the question now for us remains, do you need Hagala or Libun? But let's just take a quick look at Shachaf. The Ramah said, Hachi Nog Lechatchila. We don't rely on sharpening Lechatchila. So the Ramah, B'dievet? Im Nishtamish Bay Reseach Achar Ashchaza Afilu Ben Yaimai? Listen to this. If you have to sharpen it, you used it Hat, even a Ben Yaimai Mutter, Kamayachar Hagala. Dashchaza odif mehagala ledasa mechaber. The Rambam in the mechaber shita is that sharpening is even better. Chaybuchim beis yaisiv laedya. Abagav the Rajba siyate soivrim. Even though the Rajba and those who argue hold hagala odif, still b'di'eved was soimech on the Rambam shita. Mutil shtamish v'seach achar hagala. And the Rajba holds he can use that hat only if the Hagola, not if the Ashkaza, but come up. Ananda, Sabchina Bidiyevra, Divrei Amatirin, we who are Semi Bidiyevra and the Machaber, who are Dini and Ashkaza, the Sabchina and Rambam Varan, the Sphira Lei Ashkaza, May Elas, Lishtamish Riseya, Fachindas Ra'ah, Besefer Bedagabayis, Kumasher Batz. Alright, so this is a Chiddush, that it's adequate to do Hashchaza, at least b'di'evet.
We sharpen it helps. What about the sides?
So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how Hashchaza helps for the sides where you're not being mashchiz. Why it's different than anything else? The lashon it says a sakin gadol, they stick in the fire to turn over. They have spatulas. They just turn it over by spearing it with a knife. So that's the lashon that it says. Well, a big knife, you assume, is used that way, because a big knife is normally used that way. And you have to remember the Mechaber Shita, which we discussed in the past, is that you go basa roif tashmishai for kashering. So according to Machaber, it doesn't matter that it's occasionally used. So Machaber is good. He says enough to do roif tashmishai. With Idan, it's a difficult thing. So Machaber says it's enough ashkaza, and we know that you have to kasher it. Okay. If you're using a fitzainain, then you can rely. If you're using a fitzainain, there's two issues. One is using it occasionally fitzainain, so then we don't require hagala, and then that's good. But if you kovei a fitzainain, then we're afraid to use a fahat, so you need hagala. Okay, now. So till now, it's chidushim, but at least it's extremely clear. Now the question is, do you need Libun or Hagala? So let's continue the Ramah. I'm sorry, those of you who have the one-page copies don't have the whole Ramah. You'll have to trust me that I'm reading it adequately. Hey, you don't have to trust me, you can believe me, because other people are watching. If you can't do Libun, again, Libun is kashering through fire. Hagala is kashering in hot water, purging. If you can't do Libun on the part you can do Libun on, and afterwards do a Hagala on the rest. If you did Libun, even if it has Gumais, or if you did Hagala alone and you're not worried about the end, the chotach by Michael, cham, and you cut hot food, loy nesar afilo a sakim ben yaymai. It helps, but the eved, even for a sakim ben yaymai. Vimshchize bimashchezes heite, bechomok and vigile achkach mahani afilo lachat chilek my limon. So to sum up, what's he saying? If it has gumais, you have to either clean out the gumais somehow or do libun. Libun burns out ben in the gumais. If it has no gumais, and it's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that you could trust your eyes to look at the gumais and say that they're clean. It's not like Halacha Meshum Sinai, that if it has gumais, you can't kasher. Aruch HaShulchan says, if you look at it and you see ulcerated knives, I think you can see pretty clearly they're as clean as the rest of the knife. See, so then the Shulchan Aruch says this, says the Chatzilah, you need Libun, or Hashchaza plus Hagola. Look at the Ramaz Lashon. He says, V'yemishchize b'meshchezes heitev b'chol makayim. Again, I don't know if that means the whole blade or the whole side. V'gilay achakach mahani afil l'chatzilah k'may Libun. Okay, so it helps either Libun, or Hashchaza together with Hagala, that helps. It's clear that the Ikar Adin is Libun.
Why is Hagala not sufficient?
Because it's used, we have a rule that something that's used, Bemtzor Samayim, Hagala is enough. So you have a pot in which you boil things, in which you make spaghetti, or a tray for a stew, so you can do Hagala. Because the Bliya went in through hot water, so it comes out through hot water. If you have a askala, you have a spishbun, you have a spit, it's used on the fire, so you have to do libun. So since we're afraid a knife was used on the fire directly, occasionally, so therefore it needs a libun.
Is that organized
though? We're afraid that somebody is making grilled chicken, they'll stick a knife in and turn it over. Do our ladies do it? I don't know. Men maybe do, I'm not sure. But that's the fear. The fear is that it was used ala esh, and if it's such a sakin, they call the sakin gadol, that could be used that way. Certainly the knives we have in the sets that aren't even so sharp, I don't think anybody would use on the fire. Well, that would be a sakin cut.
So it'd be okay with the
hagala? Hagala, yeah. We buy a set of silverware, we usually rely on hagala. Now the kasha here is that what it says here in the Ramah that it needs libun seems to be a stira to Hilchis Pesach. In Hilchis Pesach, Simen Tofnon Aleph Sif Gimel, a very short Mechaber, The Mechaber says that sakinim magilon bikli rishon. Mechaber is talking about Pesach, hayakasha things. Says you have knife, you throw it into boiling water and it's kosher. People who kasha today, nobody kashas for Pesach anymore, but when you kasha for Pesach, you throw it into a pot of boiling water and it's mutter. So everybody asks, over there it says knives is hagola, here the Ramah says knives is libun. What's going on? It's a stira. What? Good. Well, I guess it says there's sakinim, it's not machalik between one and the other. So the Chasam Sofer there on the Gilyon says a teretz that it's not usual to use knives on the fire for chametz. It's one thing to turn over a piece of meat, but you're baking bread on the fire, you don't use a knife. When you use a knife for bread, so he says, like you say, metzias dika teretz. That's his answer. However, all the achrayim, including the Mishnah Berurah, bring the gros teretz. The Grah there in Tofnan Aleph Gimel and the Mishnah Berurah of Sifkat Yotes says a chilek that we have mentioned in previous weeks, the difference in Hetera Bola and Isura Bola. Now, that's the Yisaidistik chilek that we discussed when we talked about frying pans, that even though when you cook something not with water, it needs libun, on a spit in these libun, but not by hetera bola. When you're going from milchiks to fleishiks, and it was beleya heter, meaning you use fleishiks for milchiks and fleishiks, ain't a ben yaymai. So it's hetera bola. By hetera bola, it's enough to do hagala. So that's a rule that's not only by knives. The whole chumra of libun on a frying pan is a chumra when it's beleya iser. If someone used a milchik, a frying pan, even a Teflon pan, which he doesn't use oil, and he used a milchik for fleishiks, a fleishik for milchiks, if it's ein ben yaymai, it's enough to do agala. If you do libun on a Teflon frying pan, it turns into a regular frying pan, because the Teflon is a plastic coating that melts in a self-cleaning oven. So at any rate, that's the... So that's the gross teretz. The gross teretz is, it's not a stira. We're relying by chametz on das roif paiskim, that chametz is hetera bala. So hetera bala, when you have a knife from fleishiks to milachiks, it's enough to do hagala, which is most cases in the home. But if you're getting a guy's knife at a second-hand shop or a flea market, so then it needs libun, which is already more difficult, or hashchaza plus hagala, the Rama said, sharpening it and then relying on hagala, that's adequate.
Would it be enough to do hagala if you say I'll never do it aloesh? Is that enough of a?
We usually say it's lava daite.
The issue that went in the tzli, you're not going to take out the tzli.
I was never going to use it on the fire.
Right.
I think the Ramah.
So
I'll tell you. There's something Chazal calls sakinim ketanim. That's not the derech to use on the fire. Sometimes the derech to use on the fire, we're afraid you use it. Both the Mishnah Berurah and Aruch HaShulchan, and really the Grah, all three, are matmiya on the Shulchan Aruch Ramah, that they don't explain the difference between sakinim gedolim, which is the derech to use on the fire, and sakinim ketanim, which is not the derech. Now, the Mechaber, it's not shver. He holds everything. The bein sakinim gedolim, bein sakinim ketanim. But the Ramah should be mechalik, and the Grah, the Aruch HaShulchan, Mishnah Berurah, all are mechalik. That by sakinim ketanim, by the type of knives that are used at the table, and certainly fruit knives or something, that those are enough hagola, because it's not the derech to use it on the fire. Today, very few knives are the derech to use on the fire. And therefore, it's enough hagala. It doesn't need libun. So that's a true exception. So what comes out when it comes to kashering is that where is a knife different? I guess the bottom line: we kasher everything with hagala. So when the difference is Some is the derech to use on the fire, it needs libun. That's the bottom line. What comes out? Hashkaza, as far as I know, never heard anybody actually do hashkaza. And the only time hashkaza will be important is when you have a knife that's a derech to use on the fire and has a handle that you can do libun. So hashkaza of hagala, that would be good enough.
The rabbi needs is between hagala and libun. But
would, no, it's not between Hakolim.
No,
Nitzah is Fitzayinayin. You could use Nitzah if you want to use the knife for something cold.
Right.
So then it's adequate to use to do Nitzah Bekarka. It cannot be Hakolim replacement,
my
right.
My question is, can Nitzah be used on anything other than knives?
Not really. Only Dukha Sakina. Technically, it could be used on a fork, on the teeth of a fork. Which really also have Dukha the Sakina when you stick it in into a beef or something. You spear a beef and pick it up. It also has Dukha the Sakina. So in theory it could be used, but you have to realize where does it come up. It's Lamaisi going to kasher it. That needs Libun, unless it's a Terabala. By a Terabala, it's enough Hagol. When it's Isura Bala, then it needs Levon, right? Is the order important? A good question. I don't know. Ramos says Hashkaza first. I don't know. I would just guess, thinking that the order should matter because you want to get off the part that has Issa that doesn't come out through Agala, which is the surface, in order to be able to kasher it. As long as that's still there, you really can't kasher it. That's what we'd see.
If someone buys a antique set of silverware, what is the rep? You don't have. Do we have to be go lift them or shusadim do a libum or just do hagola?
We do hagola, but you should not be a type of silverware you use on the flame. If it's something you use on the flame. Then
should
you have to do Libun.
The dealer, or was this used
no, you have to know what type it's used. The dealer doesn't, he just buys it. You know, he's not, you can figure out what it's used for.
Right,
you know, the ordinary silverware that has those non-sharp, like they're not steak knives, they're just like right. Chicken knives. So those, I don't think it's there to use on the fire ever.
Just Hagola stuff.
Just Hagola.
What can you do
Libun
on the handle?
I'm sorry. I meant if it's a wooden handle, something that it won't work. You're right. If it's a metal handle, you could do it even.
We self-clean the ovens for Pesach, and it's all the terrible. Wouldn't it be enough like a lower
The reason that we require self-cleaning on the ovens is only because we're afraid our ovens have a din of klicheres. Because of the enamel finish, which at least is partially made from earthenware, we consider our ovens to be a klicheres. Klicheres, you can't do libun, only mazir lekipshon, which is libun chomer. You put it back into the kiln. But the commercial ovens, or I don't even know, why do they insist on making all these ovens enamel? Why don't they just make metal ovens? Anybody know?
It rusts.
Rusts?
The enamel won't rust.
But all the commercial ovens are all metal, and in the yeshiva, they're all metal, and the all commercial ovens, you go to a hotel, you go into the thing, they're all plain metal without enamel on the inside. I'm not sure why they insist on doing it, but anyway, that's the way it is. Now, yeah?
Wood or plastic on a knife or on a pot, which has a plastic handle, is
when it needs Hagolah, Hagolah is enough. When it needs Libun, you can't do Libun on them. But if it's just a handle, you kasher it. Regular Hagolah, yeah. Even if the blade needs Libun, the handle is enough to do Hagolah. If they were metal, then it would be enough to do a Libun Kal. Before Pesach, yeah, if you don't want it to. Now, the question is about Dukha de Sakina for a Dovah Charif. One of the most complicated issues is the issue of Dukha de Sakina by Dovah Charif. We know there's a concept of Dukha de Sakina by a Dovah Kasha, and that's relatively easy. We say that when you cut something that's very hard with a knife, the nature of a knife, because of duchka, is that it gives off a little bit of its surface. And since it gives off a little bit of its surface, you need not only to wash it, you need nitzo or kashering. And that is mentioned right in the beginning of Basav Chalav in Simen Pei Tes, that to cut a davar kasha from milchix to fleishix, it's enough to do nitzo bekarka. That's what it says here in the beginning of Simen Pei Tes. It's not talking about davar charif, it's just talking about a davar kasha, even though it's not so kasha. They need to bekarka kasha shari, that it's mutl chatchila. You want to cut bread to have with milchix, with a fleishiga knife. So the Mechaber says, they need to bekarka kasha. You can cut the bread to have with milchix and put cream cheese on, even with a fleishiga knife. That's what it says here in the Mechaber, and that's not so complicated. What's complicated is in Tzadik Vav, the halachis of cutting a davar charif. And this comes up in a home with shilas about onions and shilas about spices, things that were cut with a fleishik or milchik knife and used with the other min. The shila is, does ni'itza bekarka help for a davar charif or not? And this is a shila that starts in the Rishayim. There's a gemara in the sugya in Avodah Zarah. Gemara tells a story about Shramalka. A non-Jewish officer was sitting to eat with two Talmidei Chachamim, Rav Yehuda and somebody named Bati Bartuvi. Why did he give them to eat? Delicious. Some esrig. He gave them some esrig to eat. So it says he had an esrig and he took out a knife and he cut the esrig. He cut off a piece. He gave it to Tavi Bartuvi. Then he turned to Rav Yehuda. He said, "Oh, give me a minute." He took the knife, stuck it into the ground 10 times, and then he cut a piece of the esrig off for Tavi Bartuvi. So we have the Shramalka teaching for Rav Yehuda. So he said, "Gemara, I think this says." He said, "What about me? I'm not Jewish." He said, "You don't dress Jewish. You dress, you dress like a Roman. I know you're Jewish. Rav Yehuda dresses like a Jew. I know he was Jewish." But anyway, is an esrig a davar charif? That's the question. 11. So if you hold that an esrig is a davar charif, so then we learn from here that the itza bekarka helps to even for a davar charif, it helps with that as well, and then it's good. And that's the shita, appears to be the shita of the Shulchan Aruch there, that's adequate. There are some Rishayim who dispute whether a knife is a davar, esrig is considered a davar charif, and whether it's only a davar kasha. And based on that, we have this question if it's enough. From our Shulchan Aruch, which is say same, it seems to be that nitzah bekarka is good for anything cold. I should say a davar kasha. Assuming the esrig is a davar kasha, you have to put pressure to cut it. The duchka works also by davar kasha, not only. Yeah, there was a tray for knife. You took them in the kitchen. Previously, it has this ben on the surface. Ben yaimai. The truth is, ben is even any ben yaimai by a knife, and we're afraid of ben. And now he's going to cut a davar kasha with it, even to cut bread and pay tes. It says if you cut bread with a tray for knife, you have to just rub off the surface of the bread, even though bread is not really a davar. Hopefully, not a davar kasha, nevertheless, you're worried about the surface of it. What? So an esrig is at least as kosher as bread, right? And it needs some tikkun. What?
It's harder than bread.
It's harder than bread, so it's at least as kosher. So therefore, so if this certainly needs a bekarka, is definitely good for a davar kasher. That's for sure. Is it good enough for davar charif? If an esrig is a davar charif,
that's kosher.
What? Yeah, but he's cutting, he's using the shawarma because he's using his tray for knife.
Right, so she took the double car, which what? Which made...
He took the knife, which was really tray.
Right.
But that was tray from everything. So the question is, if I have a real tray for knife,
right.
Comes from the shawarma's kitchen. So I know, if I want to put it into a pot after kashrut, if I want to cut cold, I stick it into the ground. If I want to cut a double charif, do I have to kasher it? Is it enough to stick it into the ground? That's the question. So the question really is, along the Shushayla, is Durkin the Sakino with a double charif, is that mafluru mavliya? Does that cause blias to travel? Or does it cause blias to travel? Well, no, it just wipes off the surface. There are two havanas, two ways to understand what Nitzah does. Very least, it wipes off the surface. The question is, does it take out blias or not? It's surface blias. It certainly doesn't go through and through. The question is, if it takes off the surface blias. In Simit Tzadik Vav, where it talks about the halachis of a knife. There are two base mayors there. There's a kula of a base mayor, which is more famous. But first is the chumra of the base mayor. The base mayor is medayit from the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that duchid the sakina is mafler umavliya. That duchid the sakina could cause blias to travel. Because it says that if you cut a dove charif with a knife, then that dove charif could make other things fleshing. Which the understanding is, it's not just a mashu of the end, but it goes till kedei netila goes in, blias go in. So the base mayor says blias go in, and it doesn't help nitsa for a dove charif. The tua shar, the sefer bechar shar. Says no. Lavdafka could be it's only ben, it's not blias. They point to Simon Yud, and Simon Yud Hilchah Shechita talks about using a Shechita knife with Nitzah. So they're telling them, like the Shach and Taz there. Bottom line is that there are two ways of understanding Dukkah de Sakina. Either it's totally an issue of ben, totally an issue of things that are ben, or it's an issue of a small blia. Going into a slight blia going into the keli. Nafkamina is those rabbanim who say, you heard rabbanim who say, today's knives are all clean today. Once upon a time they were dirty. Nowadays all our knives are clean. We have Brillo and we have soap. And every year it certainly looks clean. Although, you know, if you put your finger on it, you get a little bit of oiliness on a knife. Maybe it depends who washed it. But this entire discussion has to do with this base mayor. The base mayor holds that it's a small blia, and he was raised from the shach. In the beginning of Tzadik Vav, the shach, when it says when it says you cut it with a knife, it becomes fleishik. The shach says afa pishu hu makunach v'naki. Base mayor says the shach. What are you telling me? You can use Brillo and soap. The Shach says, "Afa pishu makunach v'naki, bevadai agav churpei ditznei v'silka v'duk v'sakina polat sakin guf hatam shaboy." The Shach, the base mayor says, not a base mayor, it's a Shach. Shach says, even though it's makunach v'naki, avada takes out a certain amount of blias. And this is the Tzad Chumra. When I learned Baruch Palm, I learned Yeridaya, he was Mashmir. He said that we're not Bekiyim in how much is Nitzah and how Nitzah works, and less than Nizifa, then Nitzah does not work. The Rabbi Kivaga here brings. Kivager in back in Tzadik Vav. You don't have it. In Madichai Kol Kashia Yosef Mayim Reroshay V'Saifai U'Meisaifai L'Roshay B'li Ikuv. He says if you wash it so well that you could drop a droplet of water on the blade and run it, tilt the blade and run it from one end to the other, and it doesn't bump around. It goes smoothly. That's good enough. He brings it from the Ramon, his other sefer, that's good enough. But then he brings the Chut HaShani, his Mistapek, is not clear if it's enough for it to be clean. And he brings her the Tvua Shar, the B'lai B'kunach, and the B'di'itza, Fila B'di'evet, also B'di'ach Yafa V'lai Na'atza. Notice he brings this discussion. He brings a Hagon, the Teres Chata, says if it's super clean, it's good. He brings the Tshuvas Chut Shani, his Masuping, and the B'char Shar says it's no good. At the end of the sugya, you really have to be machmir on a knife that without needs or kashering, we take a knife very seriously, and we consider it to be an issue when you cut things with the knife. This is very nagah in the kitchen, because all the shailas of someone who cut an onion with a fleishiger knife or a milchiger knife, if you hold makunach yafa is good, so they are rabbanim. And as I told you at the beginning, that tuchel sakin is an issue where you get different attitudes or different messiah, different rabbanim have, whether it's a problem or not. You'll be a rabbanim that tell you, our knives are clean, it's ain't a ben yaymai, you cut it, so shalom yisrael, it's as good as nitsa. If you cut it cold, then it's good enough, and if nitsa helps for a dava charif, so it helps for a dava charif, and shalom yisrael. The way I learn Perav Pam, we don't nemon that way. We nemon that a knife, even at Enev and Yaymai, is a problem. And certainly by Yadav Acharif, I think pretty much the Velt nems on that it's a problem. There are two issues. Is a knife that looks clean, is it good enough for a Dav Akasha? When you cut something hard with it, and is it good enough by a Dav Acharif? Someone spears a pickle with a fork, it's a fleishiger pickle. Assuming the fork was used for a thing. So it becomes a fleishiger pickle. Ad kedei kach, you're not going to like this, Rav Palm was masupik if you have to wait 6 hours. So we asked this to Rav Moshe, because let's tell what the Ramah says. Ramah says if you spear a pickle with a milchiger fork, you're not allowed to eat it within 6 hours of fleishigs. That's for sure. If you spear a pickle with a milchiger fork, a milchiger knife, so you're not allowed to eat it within 6 hours of fleishigs. That says in Prima Gadim, in Hilchos Chagas Shavuos. Even ain't a ben yaymai fork, except for we'll get to a Beis Meir in a minute. Pashtus, even ain't a ben yaymai. So we what? Okay, 1 second. I'll get to that in a minute. So I'll tell you about the fleshing of pickle. So the question was, oh, to be Madame and Muslim, if you have to wait 6 hours. So Rapam said, ask Ramosha. So I used to go to Ramosha then in those days. So I went to him rather right after Shacharis. And what I did, Ramosha, he's very fast. So I said, I'm going to ask him the Shaila and get a yes or no answer. And then I'll ask him the Lumdus. So first I had the Shulchan Aruch like this with my finger on the Prima Gadim. I said to Ramosha, if you cut a pickle with a fleshiger knife, do you have to wait 6 hours? He said, no. I said, Aber steht in Prima Gadim. He said, Dorten is Andrish. That's how you went. He said, yeah, I said, stay in Prima Gadim. I said, right, no, it's different. And he said in one sentence, he said, Dorten is Andrish. It's Vasad Nishmai Shechtam. What he said is, the halacha of 6 hours is not enough if something is fleshig. It's only if 6 hours is because it's Meshach Tam. It's either because something is stuck between your teeth. There's no meat to be stuck between your teeth by a pickle. The Meshach Tam means it schleps along a taste. Ramesh himself has a tshuva about liver pills. That people who take pills made from flesh, they don't have to wait 6 hours. Pills are not Meshach Tam. That's Ramesh's psak. Explains a shach with this in pay test. That if there's a small amount of meat at the bottom of the pot, even if it's more than a 60th, you don't have to wait 6 hours for it. It's not Moshech Tam. Many years later, 20 years later, I was by Rabbi Yashiv. I had an appointment for a different Shaila. And I asked him, if you're cooking chicken and kugel in the oven open at the same time, so the kugel is fleishig, do you have to wait 6 hours if you eat a piece of the kugel? He said, the kemekel zayin, my understanding was, he was saying, because it's not moshotam. Even though it's fleishig, if you cook it open in the same oven, the kugel becomes fleishig, you now eat it with your milchiks. If you mix it with milchik, it becomes treif. But as far as waiting 6 hours, which has to do with Moshech Tam, so it's not Moshech Tam, you don't have to wait 6 hours.
Why is it not pronounced?
Oh, so why is it not pronounced? So here, here's where the second base mayor comes in. By Dava Charif, we have two chumras from two sugis in Gemara, one by Tznayin and one by Kerit Shel Filtis, both are Dava Charif. So we have two chumras by a dava charif. One is we say ena ben yaimai ke ben yaimai. We say even though it's ena ben yaimai, it has a din like a ben yaimai. And the second thing is that we say that there's no napar nat. There's no napar nat. Napar nat means if you cook parav in a fleshiga pot, the parav of a food is parav. Not by that of fleishik, you don't mix with milchiks. But it's not by that, it doesn't answer. Nice and tab by nice and tab. The meat went from the meat to the wall, from the wall to the spaghetti. The spaghetti is called the napran. So the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, what you guys hold up, tablet shenituchim v'beducha shel basa ben yaimai, if you chop spices, cold, you chop spices with a fleishik, pestle, or where you bang it with something fleshic, or we would say you have it in a some kind of machine where the blade is used for meat, and you cut spices. Ben yoimai osla ichla b'chalav, so it becomes fleshic. If it's a ben yoimai, there's no naparnat. The mechaber says you're not allowed to have it with milk. That's the mechaber. Ramah yeshayrim afilu ena ben yoimai. We are machmir. Even if it's not a ben yoimai, if you made spices, onion, you cut an onion with a fleishig knife, even ain't a ben yoimai, that onion is fleishig. We treat it like true fleishigs, and it's meat. You cut an onion, you cut a radish, anything, it's a double charef with certain, so it gets a din of fleishigs mamish. Which means the Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you put that onion into a milchik, whatever it is, it's not going to make a treif. It has a din of fleishiks. This is the shita of the mechaber. The Beis Meir has a very controversial kula. Beis Meir says the following. He says that this Ramah is l'chatzchila. But b'di'evet, when someone calls, and they call, I cut on you with a fleishik knife. I tell them, use it for fleishiks. No problem. That's what most ladies would do. But b'di'evet already fell into a milchik, or it might be more common, you cut a milchik knife and put it into a chicken soup. So the Beis Meir says, trei chumri lai mechmerinon. When that machmer, the two chumras together, b'di'evet, then eina ben yaimai is like a ben yaimai. If there's not enough for that, the two chumras of Dava Charif together, when not machmer, the two of them together, and that's the psak of the Beis Meir. Why is it controversial? Because it appears to contradict a Ramah and Siman Tzadik Kesef Beis. The Ramah says Beferish, in the case there where you have a Dava Charif and you're cooking the Dava Charif in a pot, an Eda Ben Yaibai pot, the Dava Charif, he says even b'di'evet, it's it becomes fleishik's be'en, and that seems to be often a stira to the Beis Meir. Now this Beis Meir, Rav Palm used to pass on like all the time. It's something that became known. I remember once some fellows from Lakewood who were learning Yeridei came with a list of shilas, and one question Rav Palm turned to me and I said, Beis Meir. So he said, Beis Meir. So I said, what? Beis Meir? Like, the Beis Meir is a pillar. So the question is how to answer the Beis Meir. But Rav Palm Paskin like this Beis Meir clearly, and this is a great handy shaila for a Rav, because most of the cutting onion shailas that come up, the knife is not a Ben Yoimai from Fleishik, so it wasn't used for half Fleishik within 24 hours. And most of the shailas, I say, look, the Beis Meir is Meikle, you could be Meikle. And that was the Heskin from Rav Palm. The Pella is from this Ramah in Siman Tzadikei, and the question is how to resolve this issue to explain the Beis Meir. There are definitely many chelkim with the Beis Meir, although the Marsham has a tshuva, he relies on the Beis Meir, at least b'di'evan. Now, before I defend the Beis Meir, I want to tell you, b'saif yamav, I asked Rav Palm, I had a list of shailas to ask who I knew I wouldn't get another chance in the hospital, and I asked him, I had a list of questions to ask him that sort of, you know, always bothered me. And one was this Beis Meir. So, Libi Aymali, I'm not sure what to say today, that the reason Rav Palm was Nekel on a number of Kushkulas and Basel B'chav Taruvis, I'm saying it's a damn, I'm not saying it's B'shem Rav Palm, I'm saying what I was thinking, because we don't see that our knives give taste. And did you ever notice that your knife or your spoon gives taste? You know, we have, maybe our knives are different, maybe our taste buds are different, I don't know. But we don't see it. No, we have a Kabbalah, a Blias, we do what it says in Halacha. But he's, maybe that's why he was quicker to rely on the Beis Meir. So I asked this to Rav Palm. I said, I know Rebbe relied on the Beis Meir all the time. Is it because our knives, you don't see our knives have Blias? Rav Palm turned to me and he said, do you know who the Beis Meir was? Beis Meir was a Gadol Hador in a generation of Gedalei Olam, generation of Mekiv Eger and Asam Seifer and the end of the Groz days, and all the Aguna Shailas came to him. His Chelek Ebenezer is bigger than his Chelek Arachayim Eredeya. All the Aguna Shailas is a Gadol Hador. What? So Rav wasn't happy that I said you're right, Beis Meir, because you have a Tzirav. He didn't like that. The I saw in Deres Sicha in the first volume, I marked it off in my volume, the Yisro Chayek asked you something else, and he said, it's the same Lashon, do you know who the Beis Meir was? You're like, you know, like, he didn't write a Mishnah Berurah, you never heard of him, you know the Beis Meir, it's the same Lashon in there. But anyway, the question is how to defend the Beis Meir. So, what? Again, the Beis Meir says we're not machmir the two chumras together. B'di'evet, right? He's saying the Ramah didn't mean b'di'evet. If the Beis Meir say paskat the machab and not like the Ramah, okay. No, he says the Beis Meir meant the Beis Meir says the Ramah meant the lechatchila not b'di'evet. In Tzadik back in Tzadik Dalit, he says it even lechatchila, even b'di'evet. Stira. So there's one way out that the Beis Meir was talking about duchka. And back there, it's talking about cooking. They're both the chumras of Dov HaCharif. Just back there, in Tzadikei Beis. In Tzadikei Beis, it's talking about cooking, and here it's talking about dukkah. Now, if that's true, we're limiting the Beis Meir's kula only to when you cut, which is usually the case. Somebody cuts onions with the wrong type of knife. That's one possible way to resolve the Beis Meir's stira and say, dukkah is less than cooking. What? Yeah, but it's not as much. It's not as much. That's what I'm saying. It's not as much. In the Badia Shulchan, he wants to answer the Beis Meir differently. He says the Beis Meir means if it's Vadei Adav Acharif, Sarei Mamachmir. Here he means you have the two Chumris, plus the Gemara doesn't say Adav Acharif. It says Karet Shulchiltis. We don't know what a Karet Shulchiltis is. So we always have a suffix. If it's a Adav Acharif with the suffix Adav Acharif, maybe that's why the Beis Meir was made. It's nine is one Gemara and Karshchutz is the other. To have both Chumris, you have to have both. Although Badia Shulchan is not Mekel like the Beis Meir. He explains it, but then he says that the Pais can disagree. Anyway, just to sort of sum up, so we discussed today the din of Sakina, which here is a din of Kashering. And this sort of ends Simin Kuf Chaf Aleph. We have still left another month and a half. So I give you a choice. Either we could do Tfilas Kalim, Simin Kuf Chaf, go back one, or Din Nice Tam of Gam, Kuf Chaf Beis. Anybody have a preference, one or the other? kiosk count. So do kiosk count. It says Taka, we can finish it in time. So can I ask you about the Simcha Kav? One back, yes, kiosk count. So it's kiosk count. What?